Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another installment of Derek and I Getting Drunk, or as it's more popularly known, Beer Freaks.
Beer Freaks.
Beer Freaks.
What's up, Stu?
Derek, it's good to see you, man.
Dude, it's been a minute since we've done an actual episode.
We took a little bit of time off for Thanksgiving.
We did.
And
did a lot of horror happy hours.
Some horror happy hours, and now we finally have guests back. We haven't had guests in, what, like 2 months?
Yeah, it's been a minute like that.
We've been making cartoons and other bullshit, so yeah, you know, we've been keeping ourselves busy. But Derek, you want to tell us about our guests today? Because I think we got, we have two guests.
We got two guests. This is awesome.
Pretty excited to have. We met him at a cool beer event.
We did.
And we knew we had to have him on the show.
Yep, totally. So we got one. I think a lot of people call him what the most amazing man in the world?
Most interesting man.
Most interesting man in the world. And no, guys, it's not the Dos Equis dude. This dude is way better than that. He is a drummer. He is an artist. He's an actor. He is
a bass player.
But this dude does everything. But on top of it, he does dabble a little bit in dermatology. So we got John. Then we got Leanne. This lady's awesome, man. Big blogger. Food. Just aficionado on YouTube doing her thing. I love it. See, these guys are the best.
It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a good show. So let's let our intro roll, and we'll start drinking some beer.
Yep.
What do you think?
Yep.
Hi. My name is Stu Hawk, and this is my podcast about all the weird, crazy, spooky things that scare me and my guests, and the one thing that helps us forget all about them. Ladies and gentlemen, Beer Freaks. And we're back. Welcome, guys.
Welcome.
Glad to be here. Welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for making. I know you guys are on the north side of town.
Yeah, you guys are in friggin' California.
We are not only in Southern Highlands, we are in Southern California.
You are.
<That's right>. Basically.
We normally don't travel what we call SoTrop. We do not go south of Tropicana that frequently because we are at the last exit before Mount Charleston here in the Las Vegas Valley.
Oh, my God, Jesus. You guys took a hike down here.
This is a big deal for us.
Oh, that's okay, because you guys are going to be returning the favor and you're going to come and cook with me live on camera.
Oh, We've committed. We'll make it happen. So you're brewing some beer, and it's got a really cool name that I'm probably going to butcher, Nota Brow.
That's exactly right.
That's good. That's perfect.
Okay, so can you give us a little bit of background?
So I started brewing beer 27 years ago.
Okay.
28.
Well, almost 20.
That was like before it was cool to brew microbrews.
Oh, yeah.
Papazian was like the only person brewing.
Like PBR was like the microbrew.
Charlie Papazian was the father of homebrewing, and he started in the late 70s, early 80s pushing it. But,
did he make anything that like we would know?
He never brewed
commercially. Nobody wrote the damn book.
Yeah, he literally wrote the book. Charlie Papazian wrote the book on homebrewing and worked to bring homebrewing to the mainstream and get the laws passed because back when he started doing it, it was still illegal.
Oh, it's like moonshine.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You could not make your own beer in the United States.
I did not realize that.
Mm-hmm. And so, anyway.
There is still one state where you can't.
Which one?
Alabama.
Alabama.
Go figure. Roll Tide, but do not roll on the brew.
That's right.
And don't roll anything else, by the way.
Don't roll anything else.
Because otherwise you're going to be spending a lifetime in jail.
Oh, boy.
But she bought me. So we had come back from Europe, and we were living up in the northernmost tip of the state of Maine.
You don't want to go there.
Yeah, not the end of the world, but you can see it clearly from there.
And you know what? And I was
almost
like
Sarah Palin's house.
Yeah, I was almost like Sarah Palin because I was international because I could see Canada.
That's right. So
fantastic.
She bought me for my birthday that year a beer kit.
Yeah.
And so a couple of buckets, you know, the basic setup, the bottle capper and everything else. I opened the first bottle of that beer June 28th at 7 a.m.
Oh, whoa.
It wasn't 7 a.m.
Bright
Our son
early.
Was born at 9:18.
Close to it. It was,
I like 7
It was
better.
Right after my boy
That's
was
correct.
Born.
And so you had your own beer.
After you made your own hospital. Kit. Right.
In the hospital.
That's pretty badass, dude. So,
that's cool. That's
badass. And I've been brewing since. So a buddy of mine, when we had that first batch going, he was getting up to go to the refrigerator, and another guy shouts out, "Hey, you're going to the fridge, grab me a Notabrow." And so the name stuck.
Yeah. So why did he say Notabrow? What does that mean?
Well, it's a riff on our last name.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which you
don't need to say.
Yeah. And it's a long one that begins with Noda.
But it plays around
with Noda.
Okay.
And Brow, of course, beer. German for beer.
Oh, okay.
I love it, dude.
Got you. Yep.
It rolls off the tongue. So nice.
Notabrow.
Notabrow.
It does. Notabrow. Saying, I want a Notabrow.
Yeah.
Give me another Notabrow.
And, dude, that's a perfect segue into this amazing beer that we're having, actually.
Why don't we crack the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have been having a little bit of beer, but you guys don't know that because you can't see us.
That's right. Because this is radio.
The good news is we're still all feeling good.
Yep.
But we're just going to get started with our quote-unquote first beer.
Yep. Yeah.
So, Derek, do you want to open up our... What is it? The rat theme.
Ooh, because let's do it.
We've got a story, apparently, that you're a little bit worried to tell.
No, I've told the story a lot of times. It's just disgusting and creepy.
Ooh, I'm excited. That's perfect to go with our beer. That's what this show is all about.
Yes.
All right. So we got the beer.
All right. We got the beer.
Okay.
So we're gonna.
This is my beer.
This is for your story.
Yep.
So I will just say, let me preface the reason I got this beer.
Okay.
Because you said that your fear was rats and needles.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really want to get a beer focused around needles. That just seemed potentially creepy, you know.
Drug related.
Do you have any beers that deal with needles?
Right. I've got a beer space with needle? A needle, a used needle in it. You know, no.
It's, space needle?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I could have gone that route. I could have gotten a Seattle beer or something. You're much more creative than me, clearly. So, you know, but I did find one beer that sort of seemed a little bit appropriate for
rats.
And you know what? I'm glad that it's tasty because I wasn't sure how it would be, but it's called Wild Little Thing.
It's kind of a sour with a nice floral finish, actually.
It's
Sierra Nevada.
It's Sierra Nevada.
So with the Sierra Nevada, you know, how could you go wrong?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah, so cheers. Cheers. Yeah, it's a very bright pink can, by the way.
Very girly.
Pink and yellow.
Very girly.
So, see, it works for this, you know, for your story.
But I'm not girly.
You're not girly, but you're the only girl in the room. So we're just going to go with that, you know. But, you know, so it says it's a slightly sour ale, 5.5%, so nothing that's going to blast you over.
Yeah, it's like session,
That's like a PBR for us.
I like that 5.5 is like a session, because that didn't used to be a session.
It's a session.
Like a session for a lot of people is like 3, but Derek and I are like, give us like a 7%.
That's a Utah beer. But Stu, I got to say, you picked a good beer.
Yes,
I think, you know, actually, and literally, I think either, I don't know if this was live on the podcast or if it was before we went live. I think I said I never liked any, like, there. I liked one sour, maybe historically. I actually don't mind this.
Because it's not super sour. Yeah. And you and I talked about, you know, the difference. I'm not a big sour fan either, mostly because the yeast that is involved in creating it gives me, like, major congestion. It's not that I don't like the taste. It's that it just doesn't agree with me. But this one, it's not super sour.
Yeah.
And it's not super hoppy. It's like somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
But I love that floral finish and kind of like a berry on the front.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. A little sweet sour. Yeah, a little.
I kind of like it.
Well, Sierra Nevada, you've done
Sierra
it again.
Sierra Nevada, you knocked it out of the park again.
Another winner. So tell us about the rats, Lee.
Yes. Yeah. This is the story we've been waiting for.
I'm excited.
Okay, so I grew up in upstate New York, and I grew up on a farm.
Oh.
And we had a chicken coop, and I don't know, you know, it was actually, I shit you not, it was an old trailer, you know, like
the chicken coop,
like trailer park trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
We turned it into a chicken coop.
Whoa.
Nice.
Hey.
And so where the kitchen in this trailer was, we had just like used the drawers for the feed, you know, to store the feed. So I went out to feed the chickens one day, and I was probably 13 and all of 78 pounds. I was really tiny, and I pulled open the drawer, and a rat as big as my arm, like the length of my forearm, stared at me, and I stood there and I shook, and I, you know, my heart stopped and I couldn't breathe, and the damn thing ran up my arm.
Oh.
And jumped off my shoulder.
You were a ramp.
And I stood there.
A launching point.
Like, okay, you know, you see the films where people are electrocuted and they're touching something? And that was me in the drawer. And I couldn't move. I was so afraid.
Oh, boy.
Goosebumps. Look
at
that.
I could not move. Boy. So I know where my fear comes from.
I'd piss my pants.
I almost did. Thank God I had peed right before I went to go feed the chicken.
Derek's a man in his 30s.
Okay. But still, I'm terrified.
I don't blame you.
We were in Berlin in 91.
91,
the
yeah.
summer of 91.
I was six.
Okay, fuck you.
It was
you're just going
right,
to keep doing it, aren't you?
Right after
right
the wall,
after
came,
the wall
down.
Came down. The wall
That's
came
rad.
Down in November.
November
of
90.
And wow. we were there in June of 91. And we're walking by their version of Central Park. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what it's called, but I'm sure you can, one of your listeners.
It's like the Rhine or something like that?
No,
or
no,
is
that's
that the
river. That's the river.
And U.S. geography fails again.
Okay. Yeah. So we're in this big park, and they have these massive sidewalks, just like they do in New York City.
Yeah.
And we're walking with some other people that we had met at this event that we were attending.
And we may have been drinking.
And we had been drinking.
I don't believe you.
Because it's beer and it's Germany. And if you're in Germany, you have to totally fucking drink beer.
It's like Utah over there, right?
Liters of beer.
If you're not drinking in Germany, you should not freaking Germany.
I agree with you. So we're walking down the sidewalk. And just like Central Park, there's like a brick wall. And it's dusk. And, you know, the rats come out of dusk.
Oh,
because they're night crawlers. They're nocturnal.
Yeah.
So
I think we had a lot
just
of
like
rats
the freaks come out at night.
The freaks come out at night, and rats are part of that freak crowd.
The wild little things.
Yeah, exactly. The wild little things come out at night. So we're walking along, and I see movement out of the corner of my eye on the top of the wall. I turn my head, and I jump right out into traffic in front of a bus.
Oh, jeez.
The sidewalk was 10 feet wide, and that was too fucking close for me.
Wow, dude.
When Jesus. I was in the Bahamas just a few years ago with my girlfriends,
yeah,
we had gone out to eat dinner. It was fantastic. We went to this little locals joint. We were like the only tourists in there. It was amazing. We're walking back. We're going to stop at this outdoor bar. My friend Janet goes, "Where the fuck's Leanne?" Lynn said, "Oh, she saw a rat. She's across the street." Like, I was gone. They had no way. I am terrified. Our son has a guinea pig, and I will not go into his apartment.
I'm surprised you've allowed that to happen.
Like, no, well, he doesn't live. He has his own apartment.
Well, still,
he's
three and a half miles
away.
You still have the mom card.
Yeah, I'm not going into his apartment unless he puts that thing in the bedroom.
Wait, does he own a rat?
I'm not.
He has a rodent.
A guinea pig. I mean,
there's a guinea pig.
I am not going into his apartment until he vacuums the goddamn floor.
He vacuumed the floor.
That hasn't happened since I moved him in there.
Yeah, no, I'm literally terrified. I mean, I break out.
He's a young
guy.
I don't blame you.
I'm terrified. Like, literally, like,
so, like, what
heart stop?
What if you see a rat in a movie? Does that
No. Not watching it.
Ratatouille?
Not watching it.
But, dude, Ratatouille is the cutest movie.
Yeah, I can watch it with my eye closed and just listen.
Yeah.
So, like, no, fuck that. There's a rat in the kitchen. What I'm going to do? I'm going to kill that fucking rat.
Are you going to cook it?
She couldn't even deal with, like, Fievel the mouse.
Oh,
wow. Oh, no. What? Mice don't bother me. Rats.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a pretty crazy fear, dude.
That's intense.
Terrified.
What other great movies have rats in them?
Willard, what
are you missing
out
on? What else are we missing? There's some, you know, good movies that
what's,
have rats.
What's the one with Stephen King? Was it Night Shift that you said?
Yeah,
oh,
it has
it wasn't
a short
a movie.
Story.
It's a short it's story.
Yeah.
But Night it was Shift. A movie and you made me watch
no,
it.
No, he never made a movie of it.
It's a great short story.
It's the short story, yeah.
I think it's just called Rat.
Yeah, where he's the night watchman.
I love
Stephen King.
In the factory that with the Total rats.
It's not a movie. Not a movie.
So can you read a book about rats?
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Okay, that doesn't.
I don't want to see that.
You just don't want to see it. Okay.
I shared my creepy fear.
Yeah. Now it's up to you,
yours is a little bit more visceral and ephemeral.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right, here we go.
Because I'm afraid of becoming irrelevant.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yes. Which, to me, I mean, it seems like the degrees, you don't want to stop being relevant. Exactly. You want to keep working towards. So let's get into it.
You know, Stu, as a kid, I was brought up in a family, and I say brought up because I'm adopted, and did not know it at the time. And I was brought up in a family.
How old were you when you found out?
32.
Oh, wow. No.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Longer than that. No.
No, it was 32. You were 35. It was 32. It was before I went to school, before I went to PA school.
I'm just going to tell you, the day I met his parents, I knew he was a
Anyways, adopted. Before I went to PA school, and my thing is, the family that I grew up in literally had absolutely no relevance to me. You know, they were butchers. They were, you know, they
and there's nothing wrong with being a butcher.
No, absolutely not. I'm a butcher. I'm the son of a butcher.
Son of a bitch.
If you didn't say it, I was waiting.
I am a bastard in the truest sense of the word. So the bottom line is, you know, I looked at the family and I was like, well, none of them seemed to want anything more.
Yeah.
And none of them were happy with what they were doing.
Stuck in this loop.
Oh, my God. My father hated his fucking life and didn't want to do anything to change it.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, fucking quit your job. Learn something new.
Yeah.
Go, you know, oh, my God. But he would just bitch and drink and bitch and drink.
Which is kind of what John does.
I don't bitch. I just drink. I drink and I laugh because I'm a jovial fellow.
Yes.
But, you know, I always...
That needs to be a t-shirt.
I can make one with my cricket.
That'd be great.
There you go.
Yeah, I wanted something more. I wanted something different. And I understood that I wasn't going to get it from within that family.
Yeah.
And so I strove to be relevant.
Mm.
I strove for something outside. And so, I mean, my biggest fear, you know, it was death for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was raised in a very religious household. And since I won't disparage any particular religion, because I dislike them all equally, it just, you know, the fear of death is like beat into you when you're a kid.
Yeah, and you had to act a certain way so you didn't go to hell. And, you know, and the fires of hell and brimstone. And
but, you know, I've since got over that. You know, I mean, it's part of the circle of life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To quote Walt Disney.
Elton John.
Well,
it's a beautiful song.
After he stopped being cool.
When did Elton John stop being cool?
He's still
when he started doing Disney, dude.
I still got a poster of him in my bedroom.
Candle in the Wind.
Yeah, that was
the moment.
That was it.
Even me as a young child at that point, I knew. I was like, this guy's not cool.
You go back. I mean, Rocket Man, Crocodile Rock. You know, it was like freaking Billy Joel. Billy Joel, cool right up until.
Come on.
But Billy Joel was cool right up until Uptown Girl.
Right up until he started dating Christy Brinkley.
He started getting laid regularly by a hot chick, and his fucking music went to hell. You know,
they do that too.
Oh my God, it's almost like musicians who go off drugs. You know, once they quit drugs, their music goes to shit. Eric Clapton.
You know,
oh my God, when he was on heroin, his music was so fucking good.
God, John,
and
it's so mean.
But now his music is irrelevant.
Yeah,
you know, and
now so let me ask you this though, since we're on this specific
topic,
should
I do heroin?
Well, so Kurt Cobain, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you guys are Nirvana fans, but by the way, check out these bad boys.
Oh, look at those socks. Rocking the Nirvana socks.
My favorite band of all time, Nirvana. I love Nirvana. Now, had Kurt Cobain sobered up, gotten non-depressed, continued to live for another 20 years, would their music have been...
He'd be writing songs for fucking Disney.
Yeah.
He'd be writing songs for Dave Grohl.
Well, yeah.
Oh, Dave. Yeah, it's true.
Love Dave Grohl. I have a lunch list of people I want to have lunch with, and Dave Grohl
seems
in the
cool.
top three.
Cool. He just seems That's cool.
Dave Grohl is on the top three of the lunch list. He is just a total fucking badass.
But Kurt Cobain was a badass, too.
He totally
was. He was so cool.
So but dude, that's what they say though, is like the whole microdosing. Well, no, microdosing is like a huge thing for people. You know, just
in the creative industry.
Yeah, just LSD. Enough.
LSD, just
you know, just to open that mind because it's so true. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like.
But they're also using that to treat schizophrenia.
Exactly,
and,
like there's so many other things that they do
the
with
other
it.
One? Something or other psychosis.
They're
using it for multiple mental illnesses.
Yeah. So, it's a big deal.
So, Stu, have you ever been to Seattle and gone to MoPop?
I've been to Seattle, but I have not
You've
been
to
MoPop.
Go
okay,
to the
so
MoPop
it used to well, it used to be known as
EMP,
the Experience
Music Project.
Oh, okay. I have not.
It's amazing. It's a Frank Gehry building. It's down by the Space Needle.
Right by the Space Needle.
Okay. So I probably walked right past it because I walked around that area.
Here's the needle. Like,
I was pretty drunk though.
And there's the Chihuly Museum, the Chihuly Gardens. Mm. And the EMP or MoPop is right there. They're all like in one plaza.
Mm.
And because Cobain was from Seattle, they have an entire exhibit. And they actually have a
Nirvana.
Volunteer docent who was like a groupie for the band and knew the band that actually does tours of the Nirvana exhibit.
Whoa.
And if you're a fan, you should totally go. It's amazing.
I would love to.
You should check that
out. Now MoPop started out as like this music thing, right?
Yeah.
And then it grew when it was EMP, Experience Music Project. And there's a huge freaking like 2.5-story sculpture when you walk in. Well, the first thing you see when you walk in after you pay for your tickets and you go up the stairs is the floating police car from Blade Runner.
Whoa.
Oh.
Whoa.
Right? That's like hanging over your head.
We're super nerds.
And then you go up, and you go up, and then there's this 2.5-story fucking sculpture of keytars and basses
and
guitars.
And there's saxes in there and clarinets.
And they are hooked.
And it's like it looks like a tornado. It's like a...
Yeah, it's cone-shaped.
It's cone-shaped.
And it's hooked to a MIDI processor and servos. And it is creating music.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah, you can
and
walk up to it and put headphones on and listen to what it's playing.
Music, and you can put on the headphones and listen to this.
Although I don't
music.
Think you should
that
put the headphones
wild.
On right now because of COVID.
Yeah, well but fair enough. And then they had, you know, they have...
I'll wait till
like,
summer next year.
They have the history of the guitar as one exhibit. They have a Jimi Hendrix exhibit because Hendrix was also from Seattle.
Yeah. So many great bands have come from Seattle.
And
it's crazy.
Then you've got the Nirvana exhibit, but then they started expanding. And at the basement, they had put a horror exhibit.
Ooh. See, we got to go.
All right.
Perfect.
And,
we got to go.
Oh, dude, the fucking axe from The Shining.
Now you're talking my language. Yeah. That is
Freddy
my favorite
Krueger's,
horror film of
Freddy
all time.
Freddy Krueger's glove is in there.
Yeah.
That's my brother.
I mean, there's a shit ton of stuff from American Werewolf in London.
Oh, that's a great movie.
There's the Xenomorph. From Alien, right?
Still creeps me out.
Yeah,
this is my jam.
Right,
this is my jam.
So that's
but
and that's on
one
side.
Section.
The other side was sci-fi
and fantasy.
And well, no, sci-fi on the one side, and so it was that added later. So the sci-fi exhibit, one of the first things we saw there was the chair, the original captain's chair from Star Trek, the original series. The pilot.
The one that Captain Pike sat in.
Wow.
And so that was there. The model of the ship from... of the model of Serenity from
From the special
Joss
effects.
Whedon's from
Joss Whedon's Firefly.
Firefly, right? And yeah. I mean, a fucking full scale Dalek from Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
I mean, just all this cool sci-fi gear. Then they started expanding it, and they had a fantasy exhibit, and the fantasy exhibit has the original D&D rules, like the original D&D rules. It's got from the book Eragon, right? Written by Paolini when he was like 15. It's got some of his original pages there.
It has costumes from The Princess Bride.
Yes. Great. It has the six-finger glove.
I know
it
that
It has
one.
Costumes from The Wizard of Oz.
Dude, it has the sword from Highlander.
Oh. There can only be one.
That's right.
That's our child. Yes.
Yes, that is how we approached raising or having children.
That is our birth control method.
There can be only one.
We're kind of in the same boat.
So
I like it.
It is such a cool place. It is such a cool place. And then they have rotating exhibits.
The Star Wars one was the shit. They had all of the costumes. We saw Princess Leia's gold bikini.
So, do you feel all of these are relevant or irrelevant?
They're relevant.
You know what? They are relevant.
I think pop culture is very relevant.
It is.
You know, and you know, I've always been a sci-fi fantasy nerd. Starting way back when I was a huge Poe fan, and it's funny. I read my first Poe stuff in third grade.
Wow! Really?
And
Telltale Heart.
I was one of those nerd kids, man. I was short. I was fat. I was, you know, horn rim glasses, and I loved to read. Loved to read because it was escape. It got me out of the shitty family that I was in.
Yeah.
And so, I read and I read and I read and I and. My so back in the day, we used to have these things called the SRA readers, and
these are
they were
way
different.
Before your time.
But they were different colors for different grades, right? Mm. Well, by the time I hit third grade, I had gone all the way through the readers.
Oh, dang!
Wow! And so they were giving me junior high and high school readers to flip through, and so I started reading Poe at that time. And yes, I read The Telltale Heart. Mm-hmm. I read The Cask of Amontillado. You know, I mean, I read some of that really cool Poe stuff. And so that kind of tweaked the brain a little bit.
He was reading Tolkien in like fourth grade.
Seventh grade. I read, me and my buddies, we read The Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
Fellowship of the Ring, first book. And I actually have, I still own the paperback that I read where in the preface I underlined the real weed. when they were talking about the Shire and growing tobacco.
Nice.
Yeah, tobacco.
Oh, yeah.
And so, so I've always been hooked as a nerd. And so to me, that culture holds relevance to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I've always continued with.
Yeah.
So
it seems like, I mean, especially like, you know, really diving into books and especially like fantasy and things where people are doing epic, big things, that's got to drive a little bit of this relevance. Because I can tell you, I feel a lot of the same way after a great book or a great movie. It's like, the fuck am I doing with my life? Mm-hmm. This guy just saved the world and like, or the galaxy. And, you know, Derek and I are sitting here drinking beer, doing a podcast. Like, what the hell? You know
what? At some point, this will save the world. Yes.
You know, rock and roll saves the world.
But you know what, Derek? We eventually, because here's the thing: we each contribute, and this is the thing that I've concluded is we each contribute in our own way. And you know, I mentioned earlier when we were talking offline, Derek and I, Banksy was the one who summarized it, and Banksy said, "We die twice, and we first die when our corporeal body, you know, passes, and then we die again when our name is uttered for the last time." And so, you know, as long as your name, your thought, your actions are continued on, I feel I gain relevance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and so I try to educate. Mm-hmm. I try to be educated and constantly, you know, try to reinvent myself, try and do different shit.
So John said, look, I'm not really afraid of anything other than maybe death and irrelevance, but I'm coming to terms with it, or I have come to terms with it, you know? So I was like, you know what, man? I believe you. I trust you. But there's got to be something. A little something. So I got the Lagunitas Little Something, which little is something, one of my favorite breweries. It is sort of a bummer to me, by the way, that they're now owned by Heineken. Is that what we talked about? I keep saying Anheuser, but you're right. I think it's Heineken. You know, because I went to their brewery in Petaluma.
Yeah.
And it's such a cool brewery. Their story is really cool too, by the way. I heard their story about how they grew. One of their brewers, cheers. When they had originally brewed their first beers, they were like just trying to get distribution, and they couldn't get distribution. So they basically just made a bunch of kegs and they drove it down the California coast, stopping at the coolest bars that they could find, and just said, hey, if you put my keg and my tap in your bar, I'll give it to you for free.
Right.
And then people liked their beer, right? Because the bars were like, sure, yeah, I'll take free beer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
And then basically people were like, oh, yeah, this beer is great. So then, you know, people started coming back and buying it.
Right.
Because
they don't have shitty laws like we do here in Nevada, where everything has to go through a fucking distributor.
Go through the mob.
That's right.
So I know how we can continue this.
Okay. What's our bridge?
I'm going to invite you both to be in a live cooking demo with me.
Oh, we go from beer to food. I like it.
We can still have beer on the food.
Beer. Yeah, so there'll be fucking beer. Trust me.
Okay, so I started the series of cooking demos, and you can find them at Good for Spinning on YouTube. There's actually two channels. I got to figure out how to shut the other one down, but at any rate.
But Good for Spooning is the main one.
Good for Spooning.
You can go through Facebook, find me there, and then click the link that's in my profile there to get all the cooking videos. But I started teaching my sister how to cook online during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we do it live on Facebook Live.
I love it. That's bold.
I love it.
That's bold.
Okay.
The live stuff is the best. So yeah.
No edits. One take.
Single take.
See,
that's
cool.
One camera.
Because you've got a shitty fucking cameraman running things.
He's sitting right here.
who also does beer commercials.
He does beer commercials during the thing.
I have to do my walkthrough.
Can we help with the beer commercial?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I will enlist you guys to.
Beautiful. We're here to help.
We try to keep the demo right around an hour. Sometimes, depending on what we're cooking, we go a little bit over.
Cool.
Because it is done live. So it's like I'm actually cooking the recipe with the people. I give them a shopping list ahead of time.
Yeah.
That if you want to cook along with me, here is what you need to have.
See, how cool is that, man?
And I give them an equipment list and a shopping list. And I go, here's what we're making. You know, I talk it over with Nancy and say, hey, Nancy, what do you want to learn how to make? And we work it out together. I go, fantastic. Here's your equipment list. Here's your shopping list. People have the opportunity to ask questions ahead of time. What if I can't find this? Can I use this instead? Kind of thing. And then I cook live and demonstrate the recipe from start to finish.
That's awesome.
So what we're going to do, what I'm going to do, you guys are just going to show up and participate and boss cool. you around. Because I'm really good
I'm
at bossing
people around.
I'm
not good in the
around.
Kitchen. So that's I okay. just need you to tell me exactly what
yeah.
to do.
Yeah, but that and that's exactly what I do. Because a lot of the people that are watching have never really stretched their culinary skill set.
Yes, not beyond a microwave.
Right. So I actually did a demo where I taught knife skills. Like, here's the proper way to hold the fucking knife. Oh,
that's actually really good because a lot of people don't.
My girlfriend, Christine, came in and she gave us a knife sharpening demo. Here's how you sharpen your goddamn knife.
Yeah.
You know, we've done some really basic stuff. We've done some really crazy stuff. We have done crepes. We've done croque madame. We did
croque madame is one of my favorites.
All-time favorite brunch recipe,
I don't know if I've had that.
It's like a super fancy grilled cheese sandwich with bechamel and a fried egg on it.
Ooh.
It's like the best thing ever. So we've done brunch. We've done. I don't do desserts, although. Because it's you guys,
yeah.
And I'm really seriously thinking about beer-infused recipes and beer-centric recipes,
yeah.
I'm actually thinking about doing a chocolate souffle.
That sounds fan-frickin-tastic.
With a stout caramel.
Oh, let's
do it. Sounds incredible.
Or maybe John thinks I should put his blueberry porter
A blueberry porter.
I think a blueberry porter would be great.
I'd have to play with it.
I'm also not going to be picky here.
I happen to know a guy.
I know a guy.
Who makes that, by the way?
Do you remember the name of the brewery?
I remember the name of the
brewery. Notabrow.
I have slept with the name of the brewer.
You slept with the head brewer.
I have slept
We got to start doing that, Stu.
Sleep with the head brewer. But like I said, I don't normally do desserts, so I'm
like
not for sure that's what we're gonna do. Maybe we'll do a really good beer cheese soup.
Oh, see, dude,
I love a good grilled
beer cheese soup. Yep.
Yeah. So I can
get down on that for sure.
Ooh, or just beer cheese dip.
And pretzels
for pretzels.
Oh, we're not making pretzels. Pretzels are a 3-day process.
Well, but you can start with hard pretzels. Tell people to buy their own fucking hard pretzels.
Yeah, I will work on a menu.
I'm excited.
Don't worry.
We'll leave it to you. Yeah. We'll leave it to you.
We'll be there.
I will work on a beer centric recipe. Perfect. And we will. Normally, I make a cocktail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we have to.
But if we're going to have beer.
But we could do a cocktail, too.
I might have to work on a beer cocktail.
Why not? Cocktail.
Yeah. Ooh, how about a beer cocktail? Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I love a good beer cocktail.
I have to get with Adam Raines about that. Because I am not really skilled at beer cocktails, but I know people who are.
Oh, fuck. Bring Adam in.
Yeah, cock beer.
Call him.
There we go.
Yeah. Here, I'll just whip out
Bring
my phone.
I know another guy.
Because I know another guy. I do think his number is in my phone, by the way.
I'm stoked for that, man. Yeah. Once we figure that out, we'll let all you guys know exactly when we're going to be doing this, because the cool thing is it's live. Like, we don't have to tell you.
No,
hey,
it's totally live.
We're going to record the podcast now, and in a week from now, you're going to hear it. No, yeah, like, this is live.
It's going to be done live. I set it up on Facebook as an event. So I will invite beer freaks or email me or something.
Yeah.
And then you can invite all of your viewers or all of your listeners to view you. And if they don't know what you look like,
anybody
in
out there has not seen these guys.
I know, that's it.
They're in for a shock.
Well, no, because you're a couple of really decent looking guys. Oh, okay. So I think people can be like super excited to see that. But I really think that, listeners like to see the voices, the faces that go with the voices.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And by the way, she's been drinking.
Yeah. Everybody looks better when you're drunk.
It's very true.
Yeah.
That's how I got her. That's how I got her to marry me.
I also met my wife at a bar, by the way, so I am
very
with
cool.
That.
I met my
old-fashioned
wife. Tinder. So, dude, guys, thank you so much for traveling to Southern California for us.
Southern California East is what we like to call it over here.
Thank you so much.
You're in Northern SoCal. You're in Northern SoCal.
Yeah,
that's right.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Yeah.
You guys are amazing. It's amazing. We had such a great time meeting you guys.
This
is a really cool follow-up.
This is fun.
And thank you for the amazing beer, dude.
Thank you for the beer.
There's more.
Yeah. See, that's...
Oh, boy.
Oh, and maybe so by the time we do the demo, the beer he's brewing now, I'll be ready to drink.
Yeah, the hazy will be on tap.
I'm excited for the hazy.
You and I. Yeah.
Kicks off a great day.
Yeah, but I think you are going to definitely need a designated driver.
Can't drink all day unless you start.
I'm so glad we got to meet you guys. It was great.
Same here.
We can get blasted.
Yeah.
Let's not mince words here.
I love it.
There's plenty of couches.
We're down to, what, 125 bottles on the bar? Somewhere thereabouts?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it?
You know what? Never mind.
Jesus.
I think we're going to back up.
But hey, I like that. You know, let's not mince words. We're going to soon mince some garlic, maybe.
Depending on
Derek, what
a
close.
Wow.
What a close.
Look at that.
All right, boys and girls. We're calling it.
Thank you.
Derek just finished strong. Thanks for tuning in, folks.